Welcome, everyone, to a wonderful Sunday, February the 19th. And wherever it is, there can be sunshine in your heart. We're having kind of gray skies today with the sun peeking through, and I think the sun's going to win out before it's all over. And that's, of course, a lovely reminder that no matter what happens in our life, eventually the sun wins out, because our entire universe is built of light, and all is light and all is well. As we struggle sometimes through the darkness and the dark passages of our life, it's a little difficult to see that and believe it. And that's where faith is an all-important factor in the way we choose to build our character and the way we choose to embrace our beliefs. There really is nothing, not even a scientific belief, that does not require a certain amount of faith. For example, as the quantum physicists study these tiny, tiny particles like muons and electrons and neutrinos and so forth, they're really not completely seeing them behave. They see evidence of their existence, but they have to speculate on most of what's happening to these particles. As we reach out into the universe through the Hubble telescope, we can see galaxies beyond and even pass through dark holes into what seems to be and may be another universe or another dimension of this one, but we don't know completely. We draw our conclusions through probabilities. And this is a large part of what faith is. It is the certainty we carry within ourselves that we are of God, with God, by God, and that our life is meant to work. And when it doesn't work, there's something that can be fixed. Maybe it's not your doctor that can fix it. Maybe it's not your accountant who can fix it. Maybe it's not your spouse or your plumber who can fix the problem in your house. It may be that you need to take a bigger, broader view of your house, of your life, of how you're doing your business, your relationships, in order to open the door for new possibilities that you have not seen before. And if I were going to give a pragmatic description to faith, that's what it would be. Now, there are also mystical descriptions to faith because it really ultimately is a mystery. We cannot put God in a bottle. We can't even define God. We can have encounters with the Holy Spirit, and we know the Spirit is with us in all things, but we can't put a label on it. We can't say it's this and this and this, and if we push button 1, 2, 3, pound, we'll get the Holy Spirit. It's not that reducible to analytical thinking and exactitudes of control. So faith does have a mystical component to it, but it also has a pragmatic component. And so these are the two things I've been discussing with you through the months. Sometimes we'll focus on the mystical side of faith, on how we just simply surrender to the power of love, how we surrender to a higher directing force. Other times we'll focus upon the fact that even with the most measured and likely probabilities, there's always room for something new. There's always room for something we missed. If you've ever watched even a good mystery movie or read a good mystery book, you know the great writers like Agatha Christie, they keep you going because they let you think you've got it all figured out. And just when you think you have it all figured out, there's this whole new twist of fate that comes in. And you say, oh, wow, how could I have missed that? And I think this is one of the reasons that people get so engrossed with mystery books or mystery movies or that sort of thing. Sherlock Holmes solving mysteries, or just think of I'm drawing a blank right now. I'll get back to that in a second. Some of the great mystery directors, who Alfred Hitchcock, that's what I was trying to remember, how he'll let you think you've got it, and then he'll pull a twist on it. So, you know, we like these things. And actually, in some ways, that's what humor is all about. Humor is that unpredictable conclusion that makes us laugh. Whereas mystery can make us cautious or afraid or even cry. Comedy is that twist of fate that makes us laugh. So I want you to relax and realize that nobody has it all figured out. And for anyone to be so arrogant as to project that they've got the answer, they found the secret, they have the answer to this or that formula or conspiracy theory or destiny, only God knows what's going on. And even God, in all of the divine wisdom available to the Creator, I have a feeling, goes through the flow and makes the optimum decision at every new given moment. I think that God, in all the wisdom of divinity and creation, knew better than to predetermine anything. He set forth all the probabilities and then gave us free will. Then at every turn of the road, every development of every situation makes a decision for the highest and the best, for creation. And if we are in communion with God, and the best way to reach God is through our hearts, through our prayers, and through receiving the communion of the Holy Spirit. If we are in close communion with God, we are actually standing in our best likelihood of knowing what to do and of receiving the best that life has to offer. And in so doing, we can study the life of Jesus Christ, or Yeshua, which was his historical name. And as we study his life, we see that he didn't have it all figured out at every turn of the road. Even he, who came here to implement the will of God and to bring about a return of humanity into a perfect union with God, even he wasn't given all the answers, nor did he have it all figured out. Even on the day before crucifixion, he prayed to have it taken away. Now, he would not circumvent it, as the tempters were trying to persuade him to do. He had the ability to circumvent it, but he wouldn't. He wouldn't, of his own authority, say, no, I'm not going into that trap. But he did pray that God would come up with, that, you know, the Creator, his Father, would come up with a better plan. But he didn't know how it would all work out. He just surrendered. So if he didn't have it all figured out, why should we think we do? We just simply don't. But we know that when we are in harmony with the will of God through the Holy Spirit, in companionship with Yeshua, we're on the path, let's put it that way. And it's interesting that Yeshua called his teaching the way. That's what he called it. It wasn't called Christianity. Actually, it wasn't called Christianity for about, I think 100 years after his ascension. It was first referred to, the apostles were referred to as the Christ men. And then eventually the Christ men were referred to as the Christians, but it wasn't a theology that was referred to as Christian. It was just an expanded name for the Christ men, namely the apostles and the teachers and the preachers and the healers and those who were coming in to serve communities and establish churches were called the Christians. And it was sometime later before the congregations themselves were referred to as Christians. But the teachings were called the Way, because Yeshua said, when you're on the right path, when you're on the way, you are in the path of God's will. And the best that life has to offer you will be unfolded along the way. So part of all of this is being in the process. And that's why I encourage you to be on as many breathing calls as you can. Allow it to become a way for you. Take what you're able to receive in each new occasion. Sometimes it will be overwhelming and profound, and other times it will be subtle. Always it's conveyed as a form of energy, kind of an energetic conveyance. And since we always have new people coming on the call, and I don't always say too much about that, I want to take a minute to explain that you are to remove your shoes and socks, because I want your feet as uninterrupted in their connection to the earth as possible. No hats or veils or hair berets or hair jewelry on your head. Just have your head open to the universe. Be seated in a chair comfortably with your back comfortably erect, but you can be leaning back because we don't want anything but relaxation to be passing through your body as the energy flows through you. It will come from the heavens down to your heart, circle around in a clockwise direction around your heart, then move down to the base of your spine, and then disperse through your legs into the earth. The earth will reciprocate with energy that comes back through your legs, moves through your heart, and moves again in a clockwise direction, and then back up and out the top of your head. And this will go back and forth a number of times. It is the Holy Spirit that is conducting this energy, connecting you with heaven and earth. And it is Yeshua who holds the energy in your heart. You are to be in your heart and pray the prayers of your heart. I have a very special, like, 5 minutes to share with you before we go into our blessing today. But having given you an introduction, I think it might be a nice time if we had some callers who want to check in and let me know how you're doing. Give us your reports of the blessing and any prayer requests if you have them. So remember, it's *6 and then follow the prompt. I don't see anyone right now, but I'll just keep talking until I do. You will come live on my queue. Pardon me, I just took a little break for a drink of water. Here we go. We've got a couple of people. And I see, is it Kate? Kelly. It's Kelly.
Keely.
Hi, Keely.
Hey. Hi, I'm in Huntington Beach, California, and I have a special request for some healing. I feel I broke my right hip.
Oh, no.
I'm 74, was very, very active, and it was the 1st of February. I got up from a leg cramp and stood on my leg, and I fell because it wouldn't support me. And I have osteopenia on the right hip, osteoporosis on the left, but I can't put any weight bearing on my right foot yet. So they're concerned about my left hip. because it's taking all the weight and I'm when I move around in my walker. But anyway, I would like the prayers of everybody for quick healing for my bones.
We certainly will. And thank you for asking, Keely. And I just want to say this to everyone. It's really important that we ask because we have been given free will. And even the Creator, our loving Father, Mother, will not interfere if we do not ask. So thank you, Keely.
Thank you so much.
And we have a caller from area code 202. You're on.
This is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
I'm in Washington, D.C., and I had surgery on my right foot to correct a dislocated toe and bunion, but I'd like for prayers for everyone who's suffering for any kind of surgery or anything, really, and include my own.
We certainly will, Mary, and I want to include in that people who are in post-surgical recovery, because I can tell you from my own experience that surgery is an extreme invasion of our body wholeness, and it can take a long time to restore that wholeness. The key to health is wholeness, and I pray that not only will your surgery, everyone's surgery, be successful, but that in the post-surgical phase, your wholeness is restored.
Yes, that's what I meant. You said it better than I did.
Thank you, Mary, and we certainly will hold you in our heart. We have a caller from, it looks like Aunt Andrew.
That's me.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Glenda. This is Andrew Devine from Newark, New Jersey.
Welcome to our call.
Thank you. I've been listening for a few weeks, and I just wanted to thank you for the wonderful work that you're doing.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Okay. That's pretty much it.
Oh, okay. Well, God bless you. And I hope you have a wonderful blessing. We're going to be getting to it very shortly. And we have someone here now, area code 786, Tarek. Is that how it's pronounced? I just meant I'm having trouble. There, now you're on.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, my name is Linda.
Oh, hi, Linda.
Tarek is my son, and we're here in Miami. We're having serious financial situation. He's been, my son, going on so many job interviews where he has to take the bus because our car just, you know, is no good anymore. And we're waiting on a tax refund, and the TV tells us there's a freeze on the refunds, which, you know, that's we need to get another car so he can get a job. And we're really at the point that we're eating, you know, coffee and bread.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's really, it's as serious as it can be, I think, and depressing. And, my son is a college graduate, a master's degree, and there's just no work. I just need prayers for that and that we have faith and that I can keep my head up so I don't depress him and he doesn't depress me.
We will send you not only prayers but energy.
Thank you.
Because
I'd like to know, to know if that check will come.
Yes, and you know, I think so many people today have been conditioned to think that because of the extreme financial duress that is going on in our country and in many parts of the world, that we're under the governing power of scarcity. And this simply is not true. And we need to have an energetic boost, because when we receive the energy of God or the energy of the earth or just the energy of our fellow human caring and love, words of encouragement, there's something about that energy that triggers our constitution, whether it be mental or heart-centered or physical. It triggers our constitution to create new forms of energy influx and to command the influx of energy. We can become so depleted through our discouragement that it becomes even hard to attract the very things we need.
Yeah,
and so I would really ask you to open yourself to the energy that will be flowing through you and feel the energy to the degree that you can in every cell of your body. And there's one more thing I want to say about the protocol is after the blessings, after the energetic flow of the blessings are finished, I will tell you when that is. I will begin with a prayer to Yeshua. Then for 3 minutes, there will be an energetic flow while you pray from your heart exactly for what you need. The energy will magnify what you pray, whatever you pray for. Include in your prayer gratitude even for what you have, because it's important that you not focus upon scarcity. You see, whatever you focus on will be magnified. So this is an important, caveat, shall we say. Yeshua taught us, do not pray from what you don't have. Pray even in gratitude for the little bit that you do have, but ask for more and ask for sufficient that you can really do the work of your life. Okay?
Thank you. So it's not sad to pray for money.
And then after that, I want you to go rest for 7 minutes. Don't think, just rest. And let the energy that has flowed through your whole body and being fill your body and being.
Thank you.
You're very, very welcome.
Thank you.
And actually, I think that's a good, we just about have enough time for me to have my little 5 minutes with you that I wanted to share. And let's see if there's anyone else on the call. No, I think that pretty much takes care of everyone who signed in, so that's good. Give you my little 5 minutes of information because, you know, we have a history in our belief system, and this is not just true of Christianity. It's also true of Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism. I'm not that familiar with the Muslim religion. I know a little bit about it, but I believe this is true of it as well. I know it's true of almost every religion, except for some of the remaining indigenous religions on the earth. They do represent an exception to what I'm about to say. And that is that somehow in the evolution of our belief system, we came to associate the spirit as being in one dimension and the body as being in another dimension. In other words, the body is coming along this biological heritage where we are the product of our ancestors who came before us. We inherit the efforts of their life and the creations of their life, and then we take our place in the world and do our physical work. Perhaps that also includes mental work and emotional work, but it's basically in the physical realm. And then we look at God as being off somewhere else, and we even look at our soul as being off somewhere else. Like, I just can't find my soul anymore. My friends, you are your soul. And this disconnection between body and spirit is one of the most depleting aspects of almost all the religions that have been created in the last, well, about 3,000 years, that God is somewhere else, and we're separated from God. Even the book of Genesis chronicles a time, a pivotal point when this occurred. It talks about a time when God walked with man. And then man, through his disobedience with God, was banished from the Garden of Eden. And from that point on, lives in a separate state from God. Well, I think there's more to the story than that, frankly. I think that's a very condensed, reduced parable of a much greater truth. And the rest of the truth isn't told because it would challenge the failure of most modern religions, and that is to really unite us with God, which is what the life of Yeshua was designed to overcome. His whole life was to bring an incarnate presence of God into the earth and overcome our separation. That was the whole purpose of his life, and it's what the apostles lived for and were willing to die for because they saw the importance of it. But unfortunately, as other forces took over by the 4th century, the sense of, well, shall we say, autocracy, theocracy, and the need for controlling people by the idea that God is absent pretty much took over again and imprinted in our consciousness the idea that God is somewhere else and that we walk alone. Well, what our blessing services are designed to do is to continue Yeshua's original work, which is to create a union between, or a reunion between you and your Creator. And now this reunion is actually created energetically. Somewhere between this protoplasmic body, you look down, you see your knees, you see your lap, you see your feet, you look at your hands, and you say, yep, that's organic protoplasm, all right. That's flesh and bone. And you can feel that there's some energy moving through it. Otherwise, you couldn't open and close your hand. You couldn't make a fist. You couldn't move your feet. So you know there's energy moving through it, but you don't realize the degree to which it's all energy. Your whole body is just protoplasmically organized energy. It's really all it is. And in that it is energy, it is united with every other form of energy in the universe. And in fact, the whole universe is energy that has been organized into the functional forms that it has taken on, whether that functional form might be a tree, a bird, or a mountain. It's just really organized energy so that it can perform delegated functions inside the universe. But the commonality we have with everything is energy. You really are an energetic creation. And I know that you can feel awfully depleted at times. I certainly do. We can feel tired, and the only thing, good thing to do is to go rest. But even when we're sleeping, we are deploying vast amounts of energy into healing and repairing our body, because energy is really all we are, except for the spirit. But even the spirit, I think, is God's interface with energy. An interesting thing you might want to read, if you have a Bible and you're familiar with it, is read about the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Something fascinating happened when the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles. They were said to see flames coming off their shoulders or even the tops of their heads, and then they were able to not only speak but understand all the languages of men. It was an energetic transformation. And when Yeshua, after his ascension, after his resurrection, before his ascension, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, and he said, "Don't touch me. I am not yet fully here." He needed to pull the energetic nature of his being back into a physical substance. We can see that played out in another passage where he went home with the men he met on the road to Emmaus. He appeared out of nowhere, just absolutely nowhere, and they didn't recognize him. But they were so fascinated with this man who had great teachings to offer, they invited him home for supper. He sat there at the table. They still didn't recognize him. It was only when they gave him something to eat. The act of eating apparently solidified the functional configurations of his body. And all of a sudden, they were startled. And they said, oh, Master, it's you. In other words, he went from the energetic presence, which was a very clearly human presence, such that they visited with the man, took him home and offered him supper, but only when he took the food. He met with the other apostles and spoke with them, but no one other than Thomas challenged him to see if he was actually physical. Poor Thomas has been labeled Doubting Thomas, but I think he had a much more important role than that, and that is that he helped to facilitate the fully physical return. He was the one who brought Yeshua back into a fully physical configuration by touching his body and touching his wounds. And did I say Philip? I mean Thomas. Oh, my goodness, please pardon me if I said Philip. I have to listen to the recording again. I can't believe I said that. It was Thomas, Doubting Thomas, who touched him. But I don't think he was so much a doubter as he was practicing the pragmatic side of faith. Whereas the other apostles were embracing the mystical side of faith. They were just glad to see any appearance of Yeshua, their beloved master and teacher, brother, friend, and to see that he had returned to them. Thomas was practicing the pragmatic side of faith. And if you look at the teachings of Thomas from the book of Thomas later discovered, you will see that that more pragmatic side of faith was indigenous to his teachings and a very important correlation to the other Gospels now that it's present for us to study. But it all confirms that everything we are is just energy in different degrees of solidity, different degrees of organization. And it all, the Bible says, by my spirit were all things created, which means that it is the spirit that conveyed the will of God into the energetic nature of all the universe. And so many people who receive the Holy Spirit feel a vibration, or they feel a spinning, they feel a tingling, they feel a warming sensation, they feel the energy. Now, the energy that created all things can recreate all things. The energy that created the heavens and the earth and you can recreate anything about you and provide anything for you. The only barrier to that are the fixations we place upon the way we are already pre-configured, and we're trying to make those pre-configurations work. Sometimes we come to a point in life where we really have to let go and say, these pre-configurations, the way we see ourselves, the way we're working in the world, just are not working. Lord, come to me. Reconfigure this whole situation. I know you created me originally, and you can recreate me. This is actually the mystery and the answer to why so many people who have absolutely hit bottom, when they hit bottom and they let go, their life is reconfigured in such a way that they became mega successful in every way, creatively and materially. People who were virtually on their deathbed in fourth-stage cancer, they prayed and prayed to be healed in first-stage cancer, and they couldn't get a healing because they were still clinging. Now, listen to this very carefully. In first-stage cancer, they were still clinging to their old configurations being repaired. They couldn't be healed. Second-stage cancer, they were still clinging to their old configurations being repaired. They got the third or fourth-stage cancer, and they were ready to embrace God because they thought they were going home, and they said, God, take me to my next state of living. And everything was reconfigured, and the cancer was gone. So if you compare life to the stages of cancer, the number of healings that have occurred in third and fourth stage cancer exceed the number of miraculous healings that occurred in first and second stage. That is statistical. Now, that tells me that the blockage is us hanging on to old configurations of energy that have seen their best times, they've seen their best days. So, in this blessing, just relax. Let whatever can happen, happen. I know you're going to hold on to most of your life. It's just human nature. But we can drip feed you the energy and get you on the path. And just being on the path makes all the difference. If this message has touched you and inspired you, then you might want to go back and listen to it again. It will be posted on ChristBlessing.org. And later this day, today, this message will be posted. You can go back and listen to the message again, but we need to get on with our blessing today because there are people who signed into the call from long distances away, and I don't want them to have excessive telephone bills. So let us begin. I would ask that you get in your position, relax, be at peace, surrender, let the will of God be what it is in you. Open yourself up to the flow of energy from the Holy Spirit. Put your mind over on the park bench. It can't figure out anything. Not anything on this level. It's a good problem solver for ordinary things, but not on this level. So it's on the park bench, okay? You are in your heart. I shall begin my invocation to Yeshua, and you begin your prayer for 3 minutes. I'll let you know when the conveyance is complete. Then go and rest for 7 minutes, and don't think then either. Dear Yeshua, the one who loves us no matter what, the one who walks with us on the path and has given us the path on which to walk, knowing that for each one of us, our reunion with God and our discoveries about life are progressive events. We're in the process of that discovery. And even though we have epiphanies along the way, bright moments and discoveries, we still are on the path because it is in the nature of our human awareness to be in a state of discovery, of sharing, of learning, and then receiving. We ask that you give us the warmth, the love, and the courage to receive all that we can this day from the Holy Spirit, that we may be encouraged, that we may be healed, that we may be safely brought through whatever physical or financial challenges we may be facing, or relationship challenges that we may be walking through. Help us to know that love is our guide and our eternal companion, and more than that, our union with God. Thank you for bringing these truths into our heart, our life, our body, soul, and being, and for being in our hearts with us now as we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The energetic conveyance is now complete. Go and rest, be with God, and know that you are loved. And bye-bye from me.